What's up, Soul Warriors? This is me, LC, your host for the Recovery Soul Food Podcast. This is season 4, and here we are at episode 2 with the amazing, the beautiful, the most outstanding human on earth. Sober is the new cool's founder, Miss Kim Bellis. I want to tell you, I enjoyed every second I got to spend with Kim. It is just outstanding to be able to spend time in the presence of greatness. And Miss Kim Bellis is absolutely one of the greatest humans walking the earth right now. I'm telling you, hands down, she is. I love her mission. I love her journey. I love her story. And I just absolutely love her heart. So if you are ready to get filled up with love, acceptance, if you're ready to be in such a safe space with the mom to the entire recovery community, then you're in the right place. So sit back, relax, and get into this episode 2 with Sober is the New Cool's Kim Bellis. Well, what's up, warriors? I am so grateful and honored to be here with you for this Recovery Soul Food Saturday Night Live. I am just over the moon with tonight's guest. You all absolutely know this amazing mom, this amazing human being. She is Kim Bellis from Sober is the New Cool. Now, Kim and I have a lot in common. Both of our journeys started in out of the need to not be a hypocrite, which is amazing. It's been an amazing journey of healing for Kim as well as for me. And we were talking before we came on and just, you know, wondered how we had missed each other throughout these years of being on the same platforms. And, you know, there are no mistakes. This is the perfect time for us to be together. And I'm so grateful and honored to bring her, you know, to the Recovery Soul Food platform. So let's do a little bit of housekeeping so I don't take up too much time so we can get into this with Kim Bellis, as Sober is the New Cool. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, first of all, thank you. I ask that if this content resonates with you at all, that you would please like the video, subscribe, and let me know in the comments what actually resonated with you. And, you know, let us know what you are looking for. This season is going to be filled with amazing guests, but also in between guests, I'm going to come back with live videos to talk about different topics. You know, one of the biggest ones we're going to talk about is how to stop worrying. You know, it sounds a lot easier than it is, but I can give you some tools that can help you stop worrying today. So that's going to be coming up next week. Remember, support us. We are available to be heard on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and anchor.fm/recovery soul food. And it would be really, really awesome if you could support our podcast on those platforms as well, especially if you like the content, to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It just helps our content get out more and more and more. Okay, so I am so tired of all the housekeeping. I'm super ready to get into this conversation with Kim Bellis from Sober is the New Cool. If you guys are ready, I am ready. So let's go. Welcome, 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 Kim Bellis. Sober is the New Cool, the most awesomest mom in the whole recovery community. Welcome to Recovery Soul Food.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so, so excited to have you here with me. And I'm so grateful that you said yes and that we're making this connection now. Kim, you have an amazing story and I love it so much because you were the only person I'd ever heard that started your journey because you didn't want to be a hypocrite to your son. And so, you know, most people that are watching this know who you are and know your story. But for the few that don't, can you give us a little bit about how you came to this journey and why?
So in 2013, my son Matthew developed epilepsy. Mm. After we got diagnosed that, yes, he had epilepsy, he would be on medication. And then, you know, the medication started to work. I said, you got to get back out seeing your friends, because he was an avid football player. He was with his buddies 5 nights a week playing football, and that went like that. So one thing led to another. I'd bring him to a friend's house, 20 minutes would go by, call me, come and get me. So after the third time, I went downstairs and I said, listen, honey, what's going on? It just doesn't make sense. You know, you don't need booze to have fun, you know, because he said, Mom, everybody's drinking, everybody's smoking pot, everybody's doing this. I just don't fit in. Mm. And as I said to him, no, you don't need that. I had this huge glass of red wine in my hand and I thought, oh my God, what a hypocrite. Like it just, so it was like a truck hit me. And I thought at that moment, I said, okay, Matt, I'm going to stop drinking for 3 months. And honestly, that was it. It was 3 months. That was the deal. 3 months came and went. And he said, see, now you could be like everybody else, Mom. And I said, wait a minute here. So I said, okay, I'll do another 3 months. And it'll be 9 years, January 12th, that I have not had another drink. And quite honestly, I mean, I did realize with time that, you know, alcohol had not been my friend. So him being sick gave me the biggest gift I've ever gotten, and reinvent myself at 52.
Outstanding. You know, that's just another reason why I really love you, because, you know, I began my transition. My life really changed at 44. And there's this tendency to think, you know, when you get to certain ages that, you know, that you can't reinvent yourself. And that's just not true. I think each day, each year, when we are moving towards our greatest life and always trying to get the best from ourselves, that we just continue to evolve. And I love your story. I love that you had that instantaneous, that, you know, that life change, that realization. I think those are the funnest parts of learning and loving and living, are those moments that seem to knock you back. That hypocrisy, you know, is a big one. It's a big one in everything we seem to do in living a recovery lifestyle and living a, you know, on a recovery journey. I think hypocrisy becomes one of the greatest teaching tools, in all honesty, if we're willing to realize it. And the awareness is the key. You know, that's what turned the light on, is the awareness of that. So, you know, you had talked about the 3 months and to the 6 months, and now coming up on 9 years this month. What was some of the process when you were doing this and you began your healing journey? What did your process look like? What were some of your resources, influences? Who did you listen to, or what exercises did you do, journaling, or tell me about the processes through there?
Well, the first thing I did was I stayed away from restaurants for, I would say, the first year. That was just, this restaurant, sushi was with rosé. This restaurant was red wine and pizza. So there was just none of that. That had to go. I stayed very, very quiet. I did go and get hypnotized years back for smoking. So I thought, you know what, just to take the edge off, because I mean, I loved my wine. And I'm not going to deny that. I loved it. And so I just figured, you know, every diet I did, I always say, can I have wine on it? So I knew I had a little bit of an issue, right? Let's call a spade a spade. So I knew I had to be careful. So I thought, well, if it worked for cigarettes, maybe it'll just, you know, take that edge off with the booze. And I have to say, I think it did help, but I think
Beautiful.
mentally, I was doing it for my son. I loved my son more than myself and or liquor or anything else. So that the first year was like that. Then I started to exercise. I started to feel better. At the beginning, I couldn't find anything that was really like online. I live in Montreal, Canada, and so there's a lot of French people also. So there was a lot of stuff in French, and I am half French, but my mother, you know, I speak English much better. So I wanted to find more English content, and it was a bit hard. I found Hello Sunday Morning, and that was huge. It's out of Australia. The gentleman had started out of Australia. And every Sunday morning, I would journal how my week had gone. And it was
Wonderful.
nobody's ever seen, I would say, the 18 months, the first 18 months of it, because then they switched, they changed their app and whatever. And then it just didn't work as well for me. Except my younger brother. At one point, I shared it with him, just for different reasons and to give him my insight and what I was going through in my life at that time.
Beautiful.
And I have to say, that was healing, writing down and not knowing anybody, right? So you could write just about anything and not feel judged. So that was year one. And
Beautiful.
then it just continued, you know? And I have to
Beautiful.
say, until year six, I mean, Matthew also had some ups and downs with the epilepsy and the grand mal seizures, like getting better and then not getting better and starting over and having seizures. So life was, you know, and you know, let's face it, how could he not be depressed? A 13, 14, 15-year-old can't ride a
Gosh.
bike, can't play football, can't do anything. I mean, so we were in therapy. We did a lot of therapy, which was
Beautiful.
huge, right?
Beautiful.
And you know, and till year six, when we was the first summer, my husband and I left. We rented a home 1 hour and 15 minutes away from where we live. We didn't go very far, but far enough. And that summer, I have to tell you, I could have jumped on every drink at every place I saw because I had no control over my son, no control of watching him. From the minute he woke up, you know, and knowing he was 5 minutes away. And that summer was, I would have to say, the hardest part of this whole journey, having to let go and giving him the confidence that he could make it without me hovering, right?
I love that you're talking about how life was not perfect because that's one of the things. I think sometimes that's the evil that happens. So, for when we're in active addiction and life is really bad, when you're at that down and out place, you have this tendency to think that what's tangible as your problem are the drugs or the alcohol. And you think in your mind, if I get rid of this, then my life's going to be better. And it often leads people into an early relapse because they put that stuff away. They're white knuckling through just trying to stay untriggered. But it's not going that well. I mean, all of a sudden, life really begins to just fall apart. It begins to be life, and now you don't have your coping mechanism. And that's really all it is. And so I love that we're talking about this because this is the lie that needs to be exposed. What's in the drinking or the alcohol or the drugs or the habits or whatever one is addicted to or recovering from is just a byproduct of deeper issues. And we talk about recovery is different than just being clean and sober because recovery is healing the roots. And, it was also my first year. Our stories we've talked about coincide so much because I didn't want to be, my son was coming up to be 13, 14 years old. I was in a relapse. But even though I had some clean time before, I didn't have recovery time. So his life was still very chaotic. He was still being raised by both his mom and I were both, you know, addicts, clean addicts. And so we still had all the addiction chaos. And so he was still being raised there. But here he was, 13, 14 years old. I said, how can I look at my son and say, don't do drugs, don't smoke weed, don't drink alcohol. You know, you're not going to be like everybody else. You might turn out like us, and keep doing it. I could not do it. And my love for my son was bigger for the first time ever in my life, was bigger because he was my stepson. He's my stepson. And so he'd been with me since he was four. So I said, I got to give him a better life. So in that first year, my wife relapsed. So we got clean together. And then my wife had a full-on heroin relapse in that first year of recovery. And I thought, Kim, I literally thought, what's happening? Like, I thought everything was supposed to get better. And I knew in that moment, it wasn't going to work if I didn't get to heal in these roots that kept me running back. And so I remember those moments when I hit my knees, just trying to hang on to the bedpost, not to go use. So I'm so grateful that you shared that part of your story, because it's not promised to be easy.
No. And one of the things that I do when I get contacted by just about anybody is I do this I am exercise. And I send them a word in the morning, because I did it with my kids years back when this all started with Matthew and Jeff. And it's one word and only one word, and it has to be positive. And I send them by internet or like text message or however. In the house, I suggest people put them in the bathroom. So people go to wake up with it and go to sleep with it. Mm-hmm. And then they start to remember all of a sudden all the qualities they forgot they had, because part of the healing also is rebuilding the self-esteem. I never thought I was enough. I always thought my friends are doctors, lawyers, accountants, this, that. And I thought, you know what? It took me till I was 60 years old to say I am enough and really mean it. And I thought, I cannot let the world continue. If I can help one person, one word at a time, I am going to do this, because everybody deserves to feel like they're enough.
Everybody. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And that's the most, oh, that's just the most beautiful idea. You know, I cannot believe how alike our stories are. I would place I am enough on my mirror every day, because how, and it doesn't it take time for you to really realize it? It's not overnight. No. Don't you feel like a hypocrite when you're first saying it?
Absolutely. And even when I do it with people, I use words that are like, you know, funny or sporty, like words that they can think, okay, she's, you know, she's whatever. And then as we get deeper and deeper, then they realize, like, one, my sweet Kelly Marie, she is a nurse in Philadelphia. Hi, Kelly, and hello, Elaine, to her sweet partner. Beautiful. She, when I started with her, one of the first words she came up with, because I'll do it a little bit, and then I ask them to send me a word. So she wrote, I am hardworking. And I wrote back, no, you are dedicated. And there's a huge shift when you say those two words. It says the same thing.
You're right.
But she's a nurse, and during COVID, and she's, you know, recovering. And so she is dedicated, and she's the sweetest. And her partner, Elaine, are fantastic women. They're beautiful human beings. And we do it. And, you know, now we don't do it quite as much, because they're like happy and she's settled. And then, whoops, all of a sudden I think about her and I think, okay. And I send her a little word. She goes, how'd you know I needed that today? So it's, you know, it's all about, I really believe, I have my sweet Natty, AKA Sober Badger. You must follow her.
I will.
Her and I. So I've known her since 2017. And she asked me to do a tattoo with her.
Beautiful.
And it's the infinity sign, because I used to always say to my kids when they were little, I love you infinity plus one. Oh, she loves that. Pink and I love white. So we have two hearts with this. She was in London, England. I was here in Montreal. We did it via WhatsApp together. And we have our tattoos. And, you know, I have to tell you one thing I always thought, you know, I have two beautiful boys and I'm so happy, but I always wanted a daughter. And now I feel I have daughters all over the world. And it's, you know, they fill my heart with love. And had not all this happened, I would never, and I have to tell you, actually, I spoke with my little Kelly Marie because I was a bit nervous about talking with you, because I didn't want to say anything not right, you know, that would make anybody feel bad. And I read up about trans, and I know about, you know, lesbians and homosexuals and whatever. And so I sent her a message. I said, you know, I'm getting a bit like, I'm reading all this stuff and there's all this different, somebody says this, somebody says that, what do I say? What don't I say? And she laughed. She laughed just like you. And she said, oh, Kim, you know. And she said, you're the most loving person.
I know.
And she said, you know, I said, you're right. For me, the least everybody deserves is to love and be loved. I don't care. I don't care. The rest of it, don't give me a label. I don't care. You're just, your eyes and your smile is what I need to see. You know?
That's so true. Gosh, and I love that. And, you know, you remind me so much of my friend Pamela Topchian, who does the Transgender Mentor podcast with me on Sunday nights. And she felt the same way, you know, with so much. I want to just love the world and I want to be an ally. And, you know, and I want to stand here for the women that are my age that want to be an ally, but we don't know what to say, or we don't want to hurt anyone.
No, exactly. Yeah.
And it's, you know, amazing.
And because there's, it's, you know, it's such a, I think with addiction also, that's hard enough to deal with. And then I've met so many young women that when they came out and told their families, you know, they were lesbian or whatever they, you know, had chosen to be in their life, you know, the trauma that they had to go through and feeling like they would never be accepted and whatever. Yes. And I don't want anyone to have to feel like that, because our kids, I find, are so much more open and accepting to religion, to no matter what you know, if you're tall, you're skinny, you're this, you're that. Like, it does, they just love, you know.
Yes,
I think better than we do, you know.
Oh yes, oh yes. There's this, the labels seem to be becoming broken. You know, these younger people now are saying, wait a minute. All these labels limit us, and we feel so much more than, you know, this one label. It's why I have such a respect and a love for the non-binary community, because they stand up and say, no labels. I won't accept the limits that comes with this label. And, you know, I feel so much that the addiction is a disease of self-hatred. It's a disease of shame, and it is a disease of hopelessness. And I feel that my mission, just because of where I've come from, being a person that had no hope and prayed for death on a daily basis, just by living in a body that was foreign to me and having no hope that I would ever get to know who I truly was, and the rejection and the trauma and the world, you know, and so that, just coming back from that, means that I got to give that out. Like, hope will save your life. Hope will save your life. Hope for a better tomorrow. Hope for a better you tomorrow. Hope for a better world tomorrow, just by us loving. Because as we love, we sprinkle that out. Absolutely. It becomes infectious. And I'm just so grateful that you are a safe space for so many different human beings to come to and to find healing, you know, because that trauma stops many people from reaching out because they're never sure. And so thank you for being such an ally.
Well,
So what's
you know, to me, I guess maybe it's because I'm a mom too, right? And I think the fact that I am 60 years old, or just, sorry, 61 as of last week,
Happy
I think that
birthday.
they don't feel like I'm, you know, not in competition with them, but, you know, like they feel like, they don't feel like I'm going to judge them, because I am kind of like that mom figure, you know, and friend at the same time. And I understand, and I for me, they know when I say I will not drink today, I will not drink tomorrow, I'll never drink again. It's just not an option for me. I will not lose everything that I have now and this precious universe that I create, you know, I seem to have created.
Yes.
And I am blessed with every day, because every day somebody sends me a message and I think, how lucky am I that they think enough of me to share their, you know, their fears or their hopes or their dreams. I mean, that's
beautiful.
Huge.
Like, beautiful.
Right?
It is. It is. I mean, it really, really is. It never ceases to amaze me, because like we talked a little bit before, some days you just feel like, is this even making a difference?
Yeah.
And it's like that question goes out, and then all of a sudden someone, you know, comes back, you know, comes in and goes, you know, some, oh yes. And you're like, okay, thank you. You know, thank you. Cause I just love giving back to people. And I, you know, I guess that always answers the question of what's your mission is, you know, you basically described it, but if you had to put, you know, one statement on it, then what would you say Sober is the New Cool and Kim Bellis's mission is? Are they different? Are they the same?
I think they're the same now. I think the one thing I would love to see in every hospital or mental health, you know, they call them psych wards. I hate that word because it's so 1950s. I just, you know, I would love to see the I am poster in every language, because if someone could walk by and see a word that could like think, oh, maybe I'm not so hopeless. Maybe I'm not so useless. Maybe I do. Yes, I am like this. And
yes.
And slowly rebuild and give them the hope and know that they are loved and they are worthy of being in this world, because there is so much stigma with this mental health. Everybody says, oh, mental health, we're going to give money, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Well, you know what? If everybody took the time, one person with another person every single day, to really check in, do a tattoo. Listen, I was not a tattoo girl. I was ribbon and bows, and I had a tattoo done in 60. You know what? Like, I mean, just do whatever, because if that's what it takes for someone to feel that they matter and they're part of your world, so be it. Just, and I think everyone would, I get the biggest joy out of what I do, because when I see them happy, if I see them sad, if they have a relapse, I don't care. You know what? We'll get through it. You know,
right.
Nothing is perfect. There's some good days and there's bad days, and some are doing beautifully and others not so well. And I'll keep working and I'll keep sending my messages, and in hope that, you know, they do get better. And I really do think they will. It's just a matter of time.
That's right. That's right. And it's the belief that makes it so. You know, there's no judgment in so many people are so used to being judged when you have the relapse, that the shame, you know, and we lose people when that relapse comes, because the shame sets in automatically. And then they say, well, I've ruined it all. I've wasted everything. And now, you know, I don't want to face up to this. And just knowing that someone, you know, is there to say, I don't, it just reminds me, you know, we talked about our beautiful friend, Martin John Garcia, you know, one of the most beautiful and most gifted humans on the earth. You know, he says the same thing, you know, I don't care. I don't care about that, you know, because it's not necessarily the abstinence that we're going for. It's the healing, because then the rest of that won't be a part of your life. Once you heal that root, once you heal that heart, that won't even be, you won't have to fight that for the rest of your life. You know, that was one of the things when I began a recovery journey was, I don't want to always be laying in wait for relapse. Like, if I can't do this thing where relapse is no longer an option, I'm just not going to do it. I got to make a choice here. Either I leave here tonight and spend the rest of my days out on the street, or I do it this way and I really heal. And I love that, you know, that more people need to get the message that you and Martin John and myself give to the world, which is, I don't care what shame you're bringing. Let's work on eradicating the shame. Let's work on, you know, integrating the shame.
And the other thing too, they're going to give, I know for a fact that they are going to give back to so many more, because like I've told some people, listen, I'm on my way out. I'm like 60 plus now. So like, I'm not just quite yet, but like they're the future. These young Kellys and my sweet Natty and all these people that are young, they're the future. And they're the ones that can help make a world better for everybody else. And you know what? For others to know they're not alone, that they made a mistake. So what? They got through it. They're working on it. They're going to get better. Nobody's life is perfect. Yeah. Everybody's got some shit somewhere, right?
That's
the reality. So it is. You know, and I really believe that what we're doing now is setting up others to do what we're doing.
Yes, without a doubt. Change the way the world recovers. You know, that's been the whole mission. Let's change the way the world recovers. What was in place, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago was for that time. Now we have to move to a different time in recovery because that's no longer working. It's like something that you said earlier when you were talking about the phases. You were saying, I did this for this time, but it didn't work for me later. So I just started doing something else, you know. It doesn't mean I failed and stopped doing that because I failed at doing it. It meant that I outgrew that. And so now I'm going to do something else. And that's where we are now. You know, and we don't have to fight to hang on.
No, and the other thing, people are afraid to say they don't drink anymore. Like our age group, you know, 40 plus, I find there's this huge, you know, and it happened during the holidays where somebody in my immediate surroundings decided to say they were 70 days sober. Well, the young kids in the room, and I'm talking about the millennials, you know, they all were like high-fiving and say, God, you're going to be so much better. You're going to see that brain fog. And you, the stuff that was coming out, it was like boom, 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 boom. It was like on steroids, happiness on steroids. And I thought, everybody's got to know that they don't have to make an excuse why they don't drink. I don't drink. That's it. That's all, right?
Yes.
Because when I started Sober is the New Cool almost 10 years ago, everybody said, are you kidding me? You can't say sober and cool in the same sentence. You just can't do it. So, you know, a miracle happened, I guess.
I love it. I love it. And I, you know, I just love that. So I guess that just brings to the next question I wanted to ask you. What's your philosophy now versus your old perception? Say when you did used to love your wine, you know, what is your new philosophy now versus that old perception?
Well, I'm definitely into a better phase of just being mindful. I try things where, you know, I do meditation, I run, I exercise more. One of my sons, my older son, is very health conscious. He, you know, and before I would be like, oh, no, you know, I don't need that. I'm much more open to anything and everything right now. I think that I also am not afraid to tell you that, like before, how nervous I was and I, you know, and how anxious I got. And I called somebody to check in and see, you know, how do I do this? And what do I say? What don't I say? And before I would have been afraid to admit that I was afraid or scared or ask questions. You know, if I didn't understand something, I would pretend like I understood. Yes. Now, I know if I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room. And I don't have a problem saying it, right? Because I have to learn. I have to learn. The world is changing and it's fast. Yeah. And, you know, so much is happening around us that I really think that had I not stopped drinking, you know, my older son, when he was 21, was one of the points in my life I wasn't drinking. At that point, being in New York City celebrating, I would have gone to brunch with champagne and blah, 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 right? Instead, I went and ran in Central Park for the first time.
Amazing.
So there was a shift. And I think that as I'm going, I'm just finding new things and I'm trying to find new ways to relate to people and, you know, reach out. And, you know, I've taught myself all this stuff on Instagram, which I was, now I have a young girl that helps me, Nicole, thank God for her. She's a little blessing. And, you know, and quite honestly, I mean, I guess I'm happy for, much happier than I've ever been in my life. And I'm not that I've had a bad life. I think, you know, I've had a pretty good life, I mean, considering, but I'm in a much happier place now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I love that. I love that you speak about vulnerability, because that's what that really is, that vulnerability. Our ego stands guard, you know, at that vulnerability, that moment that you say, I don't really know all that I think I know here. And, you know, you move ego out of the way and just be vulnerable. I think that's when you can be beautifully close to another human being, no matter whether they're a stranger that you're just meeting or, you know, that's why people get on to me all the time. They say, you ask too many personal questions. Why do you ask them personal questions? I want to know people, you know, like I don't want to just have a surface relationship. I want to know you. I want to know. I'm interested in you. And so I love that. I love that part of your story, that being able to be vulnerable and learn and be open to things, because that is the beautiful part of being in the year 8, almost 9 journey, is that ability to just be and to be happy. And it takes a while to get here. And that's what I really want to ask you about, is how is year 8/9 different than years 1, say 3 and 5, these milestones? Do you remember any big moments in those years? You already spoke about the year 1, which it was amazing.
And I just think it was a hard time. I feel that in those days, year 3 and 5, and I felt like I always had to explain why I don't drink. And people would say, okay, you know, we got it. Just come over here. No one's going to know. You could have a little drink with us over here. And then it was like, okay, she's doing it for her son. And then I'd say, well, no, you know, honestly, it was, you know, maybe I was drinking too much. And then I thought, why do I have to explain? I don't want white wine. I don't want red wine. I don't want a martini. No, I just don't want any, you know. And I was explaining every single time I went somewhere. And, you know, so I would think I was uncomfortable in many situations. And my communication was, I thought, so grand on Liquid Courage. And I found that now I've got a much better way to communicate without any of that. So I'm a, yeah.
I love that.
I think, you know, booze makes you think you're pretty, you're smart, you could dance so well, you could do so many things, right? Well, I think I'm a little better off now, quite honestly. And I'm not shy. I'm not shy to, you know, whenever the occasions arise where people are drinking, I don't have that sense anymore of feeling like I have to explain. If someone's toasting, I'll say, hey, wait a minute. I don't have my water or my Perrier or whatever. You know, wait a second. I want to do this too. And awesome. Like, no shame.
Doesn't it? And that, you know, just having that confidence in knowing who you are and what's best for you it almost takes the explanation for people out of it. It almost, you know, it seems like when we feel like we have to explain, we're still kind of shaky within us. And then we get to that place. You're right. Because I'd say, you know, this past year has really been that place where I've sat down at home in my skin and said, oh, wait, this is who I am. Like, I don't have to explain this. I don't have to tell people why. I don't need them to understand it. You know, especially when we talk about transitioning genders, you know, I don't need people to understand. I need their respect. And I deserve that as a human being. But as far as needing them to understand or hear my side or hear why, I don't really need that. And I find now that I'm not necessarily approached as often with questions of that I would have to make someone understand. Do you find that in your social circles now that people don't even really ask?
No. And the other thing too, I find that now people are like, kind of like, wow, I could do dry January. I could do sober October and get into a healthier way of life. I'm not saying that everybody has to quit drinking. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that for the people that do, you know, this is our slice of heaven. You can have yours. This is ours. And when I see people wear my t-shirt or my hoodie and, you know, I have so many Hollywood types that, you know, actors that are so the Zarian brothers, God bless them, that wear my hoodies all over and spread this message of sobriety. And I have people from all over the world. I have a woman that just bought a t-shirt and she stopped drinking at 78 and she'll be 80 next month. And she wore my t-shirt and she said, you know, the t-shirt is not a t-shirt. It gave me back my sense of pride. And I thought, wow, you know,
beautiful.
And, you know, our merchandise, it's not to make money. It's really to give back to the mental health community, because I do believe that mental health and addiction go hand in hand.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, the healing, the whatever everybody needs to get through. And most people do need some sort of way to love themselves just that much more, you know.
Yes.
And so we give back part of the proceeds to that. And if somebody puts on my t-shirt and feels like they're, you know, and they think they're cool, like that grandmother that wore it at Christmas, her grandkids thought she was the bomb. They thought that to wear a Sober is the New Cool black t-shirt at Christmas at almost 80 years old, that she was fabulous. And some nights, I got to tell you, I can't even sleep when I see people wearing my stuff. And then I have other people in California, and let's face it, our world needs these movie stars to help us out, because when they talk about it, you know, Cameron Matheson from, he's also, and Bobby Graham, you know, in California, they all wear my merchandise. And, you know, the world sees that. And then they kind of go, yeah, we are cool. Right.
Yep.
And, but we are cool also, not just them, but they help us spread it a little bit faster.
Absolutely.
And sprinkle our message, which I adore them.
That's right.
Adore.
Absolutely. Them. And I, you know, I think that it probably takes a lot of courage for people in their industry as well to stand up and say, you know, that I'm living a sober lifestyle, that I'm living a healthier lifestyle. And I think what, you know, from this moment forward, I mean, it's more solidified now than ever. What Sober is the New Cool represents to me is just that you are an ambassador of hope, that every Sober is the New Cool, you know, shirt or hoodie that goes out is just a ray of hope to bring to people, to say that, you know, it's a different time. It's a different time. And how wonderful it is to be a part of such a huge change in the world, you know, just changing the way the world recovers. Oh, gosh. Oh, I just love you even more. Like, I just love you. I'm so grateful to have you as a part of my sober tribe, my, you know, my soul tribe, really. So Kim, tell me this, what inspires you? You know, I know hope and people, you know, basically you said what really inspires you, but in like most specific terms possible, answer me what inspires you and who inspires you today.
Well, I could fill a football field with people that inspire me in our community. I have to say, the Greg Zarian and Lauren Zarian introduced me to a group just lately called Free to Love. Free to Love. And they, it's just an organization about young people and being able to, you know, be who they are, and kindness. That kindness is huge for me, and connection. And there's a woman in New York City that has something called Big Vision. Whenever she speaks, Eva, I just stop and I think I have to be a better person. There's a woman, Dawn Nichols from She Recovers, that her and her daughter were addicts, and they've built this phenomenal foundation for women. I mean, there's podcasts, there's Chris Nell, Carmel Pelly that started with me years ago. Like, there's so many people, and I'm probably forgetting, and my sweet Natty, aka Sober Badger, and my Kelly Marie, and there's so many young women and men, the Not So Anonymous podcast. There are five young guys out of Arizona that are very cool, and for young guys that are in addiction, they talk their talk. So That's amazing. I love them. And I mean, the list is just unbelievable. There's the Chef Recovery, the Recovery Couple. There's so many people that I could, I mean, it just, you know, and I know I'm forgetting a whole bunch of people, but there's just, for me, anybody that's into kindness and giving back and really, really supporting everybody and anybody for who and what they are, because we all have our own qualities.
Yes.
And that's what makes us unique. And the world needs every single one of us.
Absolutely.
That's what I believe. I truly, truly believe that. And I really feel that I'm the lucky one doing what I do.
Mm. And that's so, like, I know that that's completely authentic for you, because I feel that, you know, there's a difference in when we say, you know, something, and the difference in when we really feel it. And I really feel that your energy is completely about that. And I'm honored to know you, and it's been, you know, over the past 4 years that I've been doing this podcast, or starting with Hope and Recovery Network, you know, the resources I have watched just grow over these past 4 years, just in this recovery journey, you know, in starting it because I did not do 12-step programs. So yeah. I felt like I white knuckled through a whole lot of time, and I wanted to make it easier. I felt like it was harder than it had to be, and there had to be more. And so I didn't see anyone that was LGBTQ+, you know, representing out on the social media platform for recovery. And because that is such a large issue, you know, addiction is a large issue in our communities because of the trauma that we face, because of, you know, being, you know, just oppressed, and even though that's getting better, it's still not great. You know, we need allies, and we need more people to stand up and share their authentic truth and their stories and their gifts. Because you're right, it's so funny that for so long we spent time in this mentality of everybody should be the same, even though we were so blatantly created so unique. And it's hard for me to even be in the world and see how we could have ever lived trying to all be alike when we weren't designed that way. We weren't designed that way. And the stifling of that uniqueness is what brings so many of us into escaping and covering up pain through addiction or, you know, or habits of any kind. We just escape that pain because that's our uniqueness trying to get out. And so to shove it back down, we drink it down, we drug it down, We sex or gamble it down.
Yeah.
You know, we beat ourselves up, you know, to keep it down. But now we're in a place that it's time. Uniqueness is time to shine through and stand true. And oh, I'm so grateful to know you. So talk to us now about, you know, how do people get in touch with you? What is the platforms that you have? And a lot's in the description, but I know that we had soberisthenewcool.ca.
Yes, exactly. And we have our Instagram, which is sober, period, is, period, the, period, cool. So sober is the new cool. And then on Facebook, it's just Sober is the New Cool. On Twitter, it's sober.itnc@gmail.com. And you can go on our website, soberisthenewcool.ca. You can write us a little, people will send me messengers. They will send me direct messages on Instagram. And we answer as many as I can. And I will get back to you, I promise. So far, so good. I think we're doing a pretty good job here. And we are here. And we really want everyone to know that really they're priceless. And we need their uniqueness in this world, because without them, the world just won't go round and round, right?
That's so true. That's so true. And all of that is in the description box, everyone. And to show your recovery and to show your support for someone in recovery,
yes,
you can buy Sober is the New Cool merchandise at, can they buy that at .ca or
on both. And also the proceeds do go to a mental health facility called the Douglas Foundation, that does tremendous work across, you know, people, 10,000 people minimum go through their doors in a year. And we are, Sober is the New Cool is in the process of becoming a charity, because some people want to give to other things. So we can help young mothers that are struggling sometimes even to buy groceries.
Yes.
Or to get through their, you know, if they need a little bit extra help or whatever. So we're just waiting for the final stamp of approval. So we are on our way to help more people. And, you know, all I can say is thank you for having me and for letting me talk about, I get a little crazy and I talk a little too much, I'm passionate about what I do. And I really feel that, you know, I am the lucky one.
I completely, you know, I completely mirror that. I could go on and on with this thing for hours. I think we could talk for hours about all of this. And I do really want to commend you, because there are not enough resources in this country and likely around the world for women in recovery. I think that a lot of young women and women in, you know, of all ages stay in abusive situations longer than they have to, because there are not enough resources for our women, and not to leave our men out, but to focus on our women and women with children. And, you know, that's a big passion. You know, how do we invite people to get clean, sober, and in recovery when they don't have resources that meet their basic needs? So anything and everything that I can do to help that, I'm there. So if I can do anything to help, please, you guys go and get the Sober is a New Cool merchandise. Let's help women, you know, get all of the resources they need. Kim, it's been an absolute honor getting to meet you, finally connect with you. I look forward to building a friendship with you. This has been just an amazing introduction to how just outstanding you are in the world. And thank you for being a presence in my life and all you do for everyone. And before we leave, tell us how your son is.
My son will be 4 years seizure free on January 24th. So we are very happy. But I will say one thing before I go to all the men that are out there. You can send us a line. I have so many resources because some people like AA, some people like a coach, some people like, you know, I've got tons of places to send men to, or I'm happy to help with them. But I do help anybody and everybody. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. I promise I will do my best.
You are a safe space.
Thank you for having me.
You are a safe, safe space. So everyone who's watched this now, make sure that you get all of Kim's information down in the description box for all of you that will watch this later again. It doesn't matter if it's tomorrow or a year or 3 years from now. When you see this episode, I have no doubt in my mind that sober is still going to be the new cool with Kim Bellis, and you can reach out to her. So please make sure you do that. And as a gift to our listeners, you so graciously brought up hypnotherapy. My good friend Pamela Topchian, Breakthrough Hypnotherapy, is giving the Recovery Soul Food listeners a free full hypnotherapy session. So if you haven't tried hypnotherapy at all and you're looking to, you know, find out if it's right for you, then make sure that you contact hypnobreakthrough.com and tell Miss Pamela that Recovery Soul Food, Kim Bellis and LC sent you, and she is going to give you an amazing gift of a full session. So I'm grateful that you brought that up. It's been beautiful. Kim, you're in my heart, my friend. You're in my heart, and I look forward to working with you.
Absolutely, and I'm going to send people your way, I promise, because a lot of people need you to know that they are not alone. And that they matter, and there is hope, and it's going to be okay.
Thank you so much. We're going to make a great team. All right, everybody. Make sure that you go and find Kim in every spot there is. And we will see you all next week, live Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And join me and Pamela Topchian tomorrow night for the Transgender Mentor live at 8 p.m. right there on YouTube, Facebook. And we'll see y'all next time. Bye, everybody. See, I told you. Isn't she outstanding? Just remember this. Remember that you, too, are outstanding. That every step you take towards your healing, towards becoming your authentic self, is the right step. It doesn't necessarily have to be a monumental-sized step. I mean, you know, the journey of what? A million miles starts with one step. And it's these small steps that we take every day. It's building that recovery battle plan, that what am I going to do today that's going to help me suffer through this recovery journey less? How am I going to feed myself? How am I going to nourish my recovering soul? How am I going to get down to the root of the causes that keep me needing to escape from my life? This has been just an amazing, amazing episode. And I am just the luckiest human being on earth to have such a beautiful audience in all of you and to be able to sit with some of the most brilliant and beautiful people on the face of the earth. I am honestly in heaven and I couldn't be happier. So make sure that you go and follow Sober is the New Cool on Instagram and TikTok, which is sober.is.the.new.cool. And connect with Kim Bellis. She is just a remarkable human being that is a safe space for all people and all types of healing. And make sure that you sport your Sober is the New Cool merchandise by going to soberisthenewcool.org and soberisthenewcool.ca. Don't be afraid to reach out. The one mission in all of this that we do, both Kim and myself, is to help people realize that you are not alone. And no matter what the lies of addiction and trauma try to tell you, that you're too far gone, there's no hope for you, just remember, expose the lie. You have breath in your body, and therefore your purpose is absolutely, absolutely bigger than anything you can possibly imagine. So don't give up on yourself. We need you, every bit of you, your authentic you. So until next time, remember, make sure that you like our episodes, share our episodes with your friends. If you find, if you resonate with this content and you like it and you want to keep having more, consider becoming a financial supporter here on anchor.fm/recoverysoulfood. There are monthly packages for all budgets, and it just helps us keep going. You know, podcasting is an amazing way to share a beautiful message, and Anchor is an amazing, amazing platform to help you do that. So make sure you check out Anchor. Also, consider leaving us a 5-star review on both iTunes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. It really, really just helps our mission grow and get out in front of more hurting people that need a little bit of love, light, and hope. Some information, inspiration, and motivation. So I'm Lona L.C. Curry, and I am grateful as always to be your transgender mentor and here with you on the Recovery Soul Food Podcast. Until next time, keep evolving, expanding, and connecting. I love you.